The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is, what type of real estate investing is for you? Now, before we get started, though, I want to touch base with you and hope that everybody is doing well out there. A lot of stuff going on, I'll tell you. In the world, in this U.S. economy, in real estate investing, we're continuing with our 10 Steps to Real Estate Investing Success series. And the reason I'm doing this is I really want to try to provide you with as much information as you can, and I know we're limited here, to help you to make the right decisions. First off, you know, should you even get involved in real estate investing? And that was the show last week, is real estate investing for you? Now, today we're going to be talking about the various types of real estate investing, and there are a lot of different types of real estate investing or real estate strategies. And in this process, you know, the idea is to see, hey, is there something there that fits me and what my needs are? And there's, you know, we're the old dog community here, and we are either approaching retirement or in retirement. And so our focus is, you know, how can it benefit us in our retirement? And of course, that's going to be a skew here, but there may be young dogs here listening that are also interested in real estate investing and trying to figure out which one. Now, I kind of took sort of a backwards approach here. I just kind of jumped in and I started buying home study courses on wholesaling and flipping and you name it, and all kinds of things. It just sounded really, really good, but I was just kind of all over the board. And so in this show today, I'm hoping that we can kind of help you to narrow down a little bit more. Now, the thing is, you can invest in real estate within the next hour if you wanted to. There are strategies out there that allow you to go onto a portal, and for $10, you can invest in a residential or commercial property. Yeah, I'm referring to crowdfunding. There are all kinds of strategies, though, that you can do. There are strategies where you can start with absolutely no money and be able to grow your real estate portfolio. There are just, it's all over the board. So it's a big topic. I'm going to try and dig into it as quick as I can and try to touch all the points here. But I'm hoping it's going to be of value to you. You may already be an investor. Maybe there's strategies you haven't considered that might come up here too in today's show. So let's go ahead and get started. What I'd like to do here, I think, you know, real estate itself is especially success in real estate is really dependent on due diligence and the numbers. It's a numbers game. There's a lot of numbers that you just need to go over. So if that's something that's going to be a little drawback for you, yeah, you got to keep that in mind. You don't have to be a math whiz. You don't have to be an engineer, but you do have to be able to play with the numbers and understand the numbers enough to make good decisions. So successful real estate investors, you know, they know how to do their research. And the better your due diligence, your research there, the better your chances of success. But if you're still considering real estate investing as a viable means to generate cash flow and to build a legacy that will carry you through your retirement, you need to do your homework. And that's, you know, part of what this show is about. We're going to hopefully give you the tools to be able to dig deeper. And I'm going to be really frank here. Real estate investing is not for everyone. A lot of people think all you have to do is buy a few rental properties and you're off to the races. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, you know, and I'm going to try and share my firsthand experiences as I can in the time we have here. But, you know, basically, I started out just, you know, researching, like I said, collecting all this other data, different types of strategies. And I decided to take the turnkey route. And I was in Haiti when this happened. And I literally hopped on a plane. I flew to Georgia. I flew to Memphis, came back to Haiti with three properties, two single family homes and a duplex. And that's how I got started. But I learned a lot, you know, in doing that and kind of being a little bit impulsive there. But nonetheless, you know, I'd done my research, I found good markets. And so, you know, some of the things I did were right. But there's a lot that I didn't know. And some things I wish I, you know, had known before I got started, I would have done things differently. But, you know, it's not, again, it's a process. You're going to learn. You're going to make mistakes. That's just part of it. But if you can do your due diligence in advance, you can avoid some of the mistakes that I made, for example. But let's take a look at here. You know, real estate, of course, is not just rental properties. That's what I did. It's not what you have to do. And so I'm going to try to cover the gambit here as best I can. The show notes are going to be more extensive than what I'm going to cover here because there's just too much to cover. And I'm not even going to touch every strategy out there, but I am going to try to give you a good overview. Now, the show notes will have pros and cons in each of these areas. It'll also have links to shows that we've had or articles that we've run in our blog that will give you more data to get going. And so hopefully there'll be enough here for you to digest. But let's start with the first one of the most popular is fix and flip. And this is a strategy where basically you're buying undervalued properties, you fix them up, you sell them for profit. And generally, you know, you can do this within anywhere from a 3 to 6 month period if you're organized and you've got it together. And it's got all kinds of pros and all kinds of cons. So, but fix and flip is one I'm sure you're familiar with. There's different variations of that. There's a live-in flip, which offers tax benefits. In other words, if you buy a house that that's livable, but you want to upgrade it, it just needs to be brought up to, you know, current times, you can do that. And if you stay there for, you know, let's say two of the last 5 years, you'll avoid capital gains when you sell it. So that, you know, there's little strategies like that that you can do. $250,000 in capital gains that you can write off as a single person, $500 as a married couple. So there's some good stuff with a live-in flip. Then there's wholesaling. We've talked about wholesaling quite a bit here. And that's basically you're a middleman. You don't really actually own property. You find people that usually distressed situation where they want to get rid of their property, and you find somebody who wants to buy that property, and you get paid, you know, sort of the middleman there. You negotiate a price with the seller. You have usually a list of buyers. You go to the buyer, you say, hey, I'm selling it for this, and you make a little profit there from what the seller wants and from what the buyer actually pays. So wholesaling is a great way to get started if you don't have any money, because you don't really need money to get started. Let me go ahead. The short-term rental property buy and hold. So now we're kind of moving into the rental properties like I was involved with, okay, or am involved with. A short-term buy and hold means purchasing a property, typically an undervalued property, you know, fixing it up and renting it out. Your goal is to make a significant profit within 2 to 5 years. So it's not a long-term hold. You get in there, you can do some upgrades, you'll make some rental income in the interim as, you know, equity hopefully will grow with it. And so you're making money at both ends there, both when you sell it and from the cash flow from the rental. Then it's a long-term rental, and that's most of what I was involved with or have been involved with. It's long-term buy and hold strategies, meaning buying a property, renting it out, and keeping it for a number of years, usually more than five. With this strategy, you don't have to worry about investing in high rent districts or areas with rapid appreciation. It can be the slow and steady. You're just getting a good solid cash flow each month, and that worked for me. That's what I was looking for. There's also a turnkey property, as I mentioned. That's how I started. I was living in Haiti, so I didn't really have time to go over to the property, and if something broke or something, whatever happened, I couldn't do that. So I bought properties that already had tenants, that had property management, and it was a lot less hassle for me, but I reduced my cash flow and my ROI because of that, because somebody else had fixed up the property, somebody else was managing the property, so I had to pay money that reduced my cash flow. But some people like turnkey properties. House hacking, it's more of a strategy where maybe you do have limited funds. You can buy a duplex, maybe through a fourplex, and you'll live in one of the units. You rent out the other ones. They pay your rent, pay your mortgage, so you don't have to pay anything. You can work on it while you're living in it. You can do other things. If you maybe don't have all the credit, you might qualify for an FHA type loan, and all you have to do is live there a year. And after a year, you can move out. Somebody else can take your unit, and boom, you've got your first rental property. And you can keep doing that strategy over and over again. Then there's the live in, then rent. If you don't have the capital to buy another property right now, you can use your residence as a rental in a few years. While you live in your home, you can fix it up, get it ready for renters. Then once you build up appreciation, you can refinance the property, taking out some of the equity and use it to buy your next primary residence and use this one as a rental. So that's a viable strategy. The BRRRR strategy, which stands for buy, renovate, rent, refinance, repeat, real popular way to be able to get properties, try to get them under market value. You buy them, you renovate them, you rent them out as they generate, you know, additional income, and they are, you know, increase in equity. You can refinance, and then you just repeat the process. Take the money out, put it into another one, hold on to that one, keep renting it out, and so forth. So that's another approach. Then there's really short-term rentals like Airbnb and VRBO, where you can even just rent out a room in your house, or maybe you have a guest house or a room, you know, above the garage or something like that, that you can rent out while you're even living there. Many people have done this. They'll live in one room and they rent out all the other rooms as Airbnbs, and they generate income. Now, you know, that's not for the faint at heart, because you've got all kinds of people you don't even know coming into your house on a regular basis, but hey, it generates money. Or you can buy rental, you can buy a property and convert it into an Airbnb, furnish it, put, you know, TV and all that stuff, Wi-Fi in there. Or you could go to even an apartment, for example, an apartment building that's having trouble finding renters, and you can tell them, hey, I'll bring people in, I'll pay the rent that you want, but I'll do it as a short-term rental. And that's called a Airbnb arbitrage. So you can get creative along those lines. And there's also trading up, which is also a strategy. The IRS makes trading up easy with 1031 exchanges. With this rule, you'll sell an investment property and use the proceeds to invest in another like property, but a higher value property. And you keep doing this process. Now, the 1031 protects you from capital gains while you're doing this. You can keep upgrading, upgrading, upgrading until until you could start with a single family home and move into apartments eventually by just upgrading and using those funds and not have to worry about capital gains. Then there's lease options. Lease options, basically you buy a home, you fix it up, or not. Some people just buy a home and boom, they just make it available. You put it on the market as a lease to own or rent to own property. So people that may not qualify for a mortgage loan can get a home. And some people, that's why they don't fix it up, because they'll say, okay, this is it. This is your house. If you can meet the requirements, and they usually have to put a down payment into it and be able to maintain the house for a certain period of time. And then a lot of times the person that's selling it will maybe help them to get a mortgage and help them to qualify for a mortgage. And then they buy it from you and boom, you know, it's a real creative way to generate funds in a number of different areas. And you don't have to worry so much about the tenant, because it's like their home. So they're fixing everything themselves. They're maintaining it themselves. So you want to, you know, it's a little bit of a gamble. You want to make sure you get the right person in there to do it. But some people have tons of lease options and make those available. Let's keep moving here. Okay. So that's just sort of a handful of more common strategies you're familiar with. Other ways to make money in real estate is hard money, private money lending. So you have funds, you are the bank basically. And so maybe somebody wants to do a flip, but they don't have the money to do it. You lend it at a higher rate than they'd normally be able to get out there. And, but it's a short-term deal. So they'll take a flip and maybe 6 months later, they pay off the loan. They give you, you know, everything in full, but in the meantime, you've chalked up some nice interest and boom, you know, you're a private money lender, and you can do what the banks do. There's also REITs, and we've talked about these a fair amount on the podcast, Real Estate Investment Trusts. And it's a way to invest in real estate kind of like you invest in stocks. And, you know, there are pluses and minuses to it, but you can, it's somewhat liquid. In some cases, you're tied into a time frame, but most often if you needed to get out, you could get out. But again, we're looking at real estate as, okay, this is a good investment. Real estate is a tangible asset. You're not buying stocks where a company could just disappear and your stock be worth absolutely nothing. No, this land, this building will always be worth something. And that's what makes it so appealing. Not only that, but real estate is hot. People love the returns. They're higher returns in the stock markets in many cases and other types of investments. So you want to, you know, get involved. So this is another way to do it, is with REITs and crowdfunding. I mentioned that at the opening of the hour here, that crowdfunding, there are a whole bunch of portals out there where you can invest in people's deals and get a nice return without having to put a lot of money in. As I mentioned, one of our guests was Ground Floor, and groundfloor.com, you can get in there for $10 and invest. You could, you know, or for $1,000, you could invest in a whole bunch of different deals. And they give you the idea of what the risk is, and they assess it, and they tell you a lot of information so you can make a good decision. Some of them with higher interest rates are, of course, are going to be maybe a higher risk, but you can decide and pick and choose which investments you want to go with crowdfunding. Some invest in trust deeds. There may be a trust deed that let's say a person couldn't afford to pay, and the banks now have them and they're selling them, and you can take over that trust deed and work with the person that took out that loan and, you know, collect from that. And if they don't pay, then you can take over the property. So it's a, you know, a lot of people do this to, that's the only kind of investing they do in real estate, and just doing trust deeds. Liens are another one, tax liens, where there's a tax lien against somebody or some other type of lien. And it's a kind of an inexpensive way to obtain, you know, high equity property. There's low maintenance, and boom, you know, if the again, if the person doesn't pay the lien, you get the property. So it's a way to get a property relatively inexpensively. And then there is self-storage, another one that we've talked about too, where you're investing and you don't have to worry so much about tenants, although there are people that are renting your space to put their stuff. It's a lower maintenance. You don't have plumbing and all the things you have to deal with a rental unit and so forth. So, I've got pros and cons and links to all of these things I'm mentioning here. Then there's, real estate syndication, and we've talked about that a fair amount too. This gives you an opportunity to be part owner of an apartment building, or it could be an office building, or any number of real estate investments. And you can get in for sometimes, as low as $25,000, and you get these good returns on your funds. It's backed up by real estate. You also get the tax advantages, but you don't have to manage anything. It already has managers that, and again, you want to make sure you're investing with the right people, and you have to do your due diligence, as I mentioned earlier. But it's a great way to get a great return by real estate backed investments. We'll have a lot of information on that as well in there. And then there's other types of commercial real estate that you can get involved with. Triple net leasing, that is basically sort of like your CVS building. Could be any kind of place, retail establishment where you buy the building, you own the land, but you lease it out on a triple net basis, which, you get income from it. They do all the repairs and you don't really have, it's a real hands-off type of an investment where you don't have to manage it as close as you do where you have apartment buildings, for example. There's also warehouses, which are in huge demand right now. Any kind of industrial is in huge demand because people are buying things online, and a lot of these companies need places to store their stuff, like Amazon and so forth. Office buildings, malls, hotels, those are all commercial real estate investments that you can get involved with. You could either buy your own, or you could invest in somebody else's. There's raw land, and we've talked about this a fair amount too, where there's people that just learn and how to master land flipping. They buy land really cheap at auctions or through direct mail campaigns, where they find people that bought a land with the idea of building a house or a vacation cabin on it, but it never happened. And they're just they're paying property taxes on it. They're tired of it. And they get your little letter in the mail that says, "Hey, I'm buying land. Do you want to sell?" And people get some good deals, and they're able to flip them pretty quickly if they know how to. That is a kind of an overview of the types of investments that are available for real estate investors. You can be a real estate investor, like I said, for $10, or you could put in millions and buy some high-end property that will grow in value and equity, and it'll allow you to even create that legacy that you want to hand down to somebody. It just depends on your goals and your vision and what's your purpose for investing in real estate. Is it just, hey, I want to make a little money on the side, I've got a retirement nest egg, I want it to grow? All of those factors are things that would go into consideration here. But eventually, if you decide, I want to be a real estate investor, you're going to have to pick one of those strategies. Maybe it's a combination, but I would recommend picking one, doing well at that, and then you can start to move into something different. But master that one particular area, whether it is a rental property or whether it is mobile home parks or whatever it may be. The idea is to get to do that well and to grow that and take those profits and put it into, an expansion of what you already have, or maybe into some other areas. And you could even diversify within real estate. So that is the show for today. I hope that helps you guys out. If you have any questions, please, don't hesitate to write me. Maybe there's something you might want to find out more about some of these areas, and I'll try to help you as best I can. So that's it. Please note, everything I talked about here will be presented in our extensive show notes at the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled, What Type of Real Estate Investing is for You? Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king, and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.